evening and rejoice in your goodness to us. We just thank you, Lord, for all the blessings that we enjoy every day of our lives. And thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to serve you in this country. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace to us. Pray your blessings upon our service tonight, that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth and walk in the way that you would have us to go. Thank you so much, our Father, for all your blessings to us. Help us to do your will in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is one of the favorite psalms for Thanksgiving, I know, and very short. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and enter his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. All right. It's something from a newspaper. A prayer for Thanksgiving from Dear Abby. I don't know if you remember this from last year or not. But anyway, I like it. It says, can you believe it's Thanksgiving again so soon? A few years ago, I wrote a column especially for Thanksgiving, and it was so well received that I was asked to repeat it. Now it's become a tradition. So here it is again with a few minor changes. On this Thanksgiving Day, take a few minutes to think about what you have to be thankful for. How's your health? Not so good. Well, thank God you've lived this long. A lot of people haven't. You're hurting. Thousands, maybe millions, are hurting more. Have you ever visited a veterans hospital or a rehabilitation clinic for crippled children? If you awakened this morning and were able to hear the birds sing, use your vocal cords to utter human words, walk in the breakfast table on two good legs and read the newspaper with two good eyes, praise the Lord. A lot of people can't. How's your pocketbook then? Well, most of the world is a lot poorer. No pensions, no welfare, no food stamps, no social security. In fact, 1/3 of the people in the world will go to bed hungry tonight. Are you lonely? The way to have a friend is to be one. If nobody calls you, call them. Go out of your way to do something nice for somebody. It's a sure cure for the blues. Are you concerned about your country's future? Hooray! Our system has been saved by such concern. Concern for honesty in government, concern for peace, and concern for fair play under the law. Your country may not be a rose garden, but it's also not a patch of weeds. Freedom rings. Look and listen. You can still worship at the church of your choice, cast a secret ballot, and even criticize your government without fearing a knock on the head or a knock on the door at midnight. And if you want to live under a different system, you're free to go. There are no walls or fences, nothing to keep you here. As a final thought, if you've never said grace at your table, do it today. And if you are accustomed to saying grace, this time instead of having an adult recite it, let a child lead the rest. First, everyone at the table should hold hands. Here is my Thanksgiving prayer, which I offer not only once a year, but on every occasion when grace is recited at my table. You're welcome to use it. It says, O Heavenly Father, we thank thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank thee for health and remember the sick. We thank thee for friends and remember the friendless. We thank thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to service. that thy gifts to us may be used for others. Amen. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and may God bless you and yours. That's from Dear Abby. I don't know, is she still in the paper? I'm not sure she is. I don't get a paper anymore, so I don't know. But Psalm 103, it's one of my favorite ones. We think about Thanksgiving and all that God is to us and the wonderful blessings that we enjoy. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight, for this beautiful song of praise and thanksgiving that David wrote so long ago, and yet it still speaks to our hearts today. When we think of you and all that you are to us, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins to wash us clean and make us pure in your sight. Lord, we're not worthy, but we thank you that he loved us so much that he went to the cross and died in our place. And we thank you for your great love to us day by day. May we walk in fellowship with you and do your will. Lord, I pray tonight for our country. I pray that you'll help us to remain free and able to serve you. We thank you for our church here and for each one who attends. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy and love to us. And pray that you would help us that we might be faithful to you in every area of life. Lord, you know the needs of people. Many are ill from various reasons. Others are having difficulties of one kind or another. And yet we just thank you and praise you that you are with us in through whatever we're passing through. We thank you that you've seen us through these last 2 years with all of this problem with the virus and everything else connected with it. And we know it's still there, but hopefully not as bad, and we do pray that you will continue to give us the health and strength that we need for our lives each day. May we praise you and give you the glory. Thank you for all your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. To my soul, this is a very personal word that he's saying here. From my soul, from my innermost being, I want to praise the Lord. Give him all the glory. The word bless, blessed and blessing are found over 500 times in the Bible. We constantly pray for God's blessings to be upon us, our families, our church, our country, just as I just did. By this, we mean we want good things to happen, right? Those that we love and care for. God's blessings many times come in ways that we do not expect or appreciate. And when Jacob, for example, wrestled with the angel of the Lord, he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." But God answered him by throwing his hip out of joint and giving him a permanent limp. Paul prayed for God to remove his thorn in the flesh. And God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee," and gave him the spiritual power that he was able to do the great work that he did. But he did not take away the thorn. Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. So often that's the way God works. We don't always understand it, but we know that he's right. Jesus prayed in the garden, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." But God had promised long ago to Abraham that in him and in his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. And this blessing came through what Jesus did for us on the cross, giving his life for us in a sacrifice, suffering, so that we might have eternal life. We might have forgiveness of all of our sins and be reconciled to God. Warren Wiersbe defines blessing as any act of God that brings him glory by accomplishing his will and helping his people grow and do his will. You can't buy blessings. You can't manufacture them. They are God's gift to each one of us to enable us to glorify him. So the best thing to do is to accept the blessings that he sends and give thanks to the Lord for whatever he sends our way. In the Psalms, bless the Lord means the same as praise the Lord. And certainly, we need to do that more and more. It's interesting to note that the major Hebrew word for bless is Barak. And I've heard that name somewhere. Barak? Anyway. Which means to bow the knee and in worship. And so this is what blessing means, to worship the Lord, bow before him. So we are blessed that we might be a blessing. We are channels of God's blessing and not reservoirs. We don't want to hold it in to ourselves, but allow the blessings to go out to others. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And someone has called this psalm David's Hallelujah Chorus. And he just praises the Lord all the way through. He doesn't ask for anything. As you read through the psalm, there is no request made. It's all pure praise and thanksgiving to God for what he has done for him. So bless the Lord, O my soul, he says. From the depths of his being, he praises the Lord and blesses his name. And then he says, and forget not all his benefits. You know, I think it does us good to think back through all of the blessings that God has poured out upon us, all the benefits that we have. So often are prone, or at least I believe so, prone sometimes to complain. You don't complain, but sometimes it's easy to think, things are going badly and complaining. But we have the benefits that God has given to us, and we should enjoy those benefits and give him the praise for all that he does. He says he forget not all his benefits. And some of them he says, who forgives all of your iniquities. He forgives you for every sin you ever committed. Once you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you have complete forgiveness for all of your sins. And that's a wonderful benefit, a wonderful blessing that we have. So he says he forgives us. That's a spiritual blessing. We need to realize that he is forgiving us all. There's nothing he holds against us. It says that in this psalm, the word all appears 9 different times. God, in whatever he's doing, he does it completely. And he has forgiven us of all of our sins. There's nothing that he holds against us. And he says, "And who redeems, or who heals you all by diseases." So this is a matter, so often we are concerned about people and their sicknesses and things that happen in life, naturally so, and certainly we should pray for them. In fact, the scriptures tell us very definitely to pray for those who are going through difficult times and sicknesses. And it says he will forgive all of our sins and all of our heal all of our diseases. Then let's look at Deuteronomy 6 for a second. Deuteronomy 6, I have a reference here about what the Israelites were required to do. And Deuteronomy 6, verse 10, it says, "It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name." So he says all these benefits that God gives to us, we need to give him the praise. We don't deserve a lot of these things. Israel did not deserve God's blessings, and yet he chose to pour out his benefits upon them. And he just asked them to fear him, to remember him, to be faithful. And that's what God wants us to do as well, that we might be faithful to him and give him the glory and praise for all that he does. He goes on to say, "Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." God's showing us his great love and mercy and grace to us. "Who satisfies thy mouth with good things." Tomorrow's Thanksgiving Day, right? Aha, here we go. Satisfies your mouth with good things. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm sure you are as well, to have a nice feast on Thanksgiving Day and give God the praise and glory for all that he has given us. It's a wonderful blessing. As we read before, many people don't have the same blessings that we enjoy, and we need to pray for them and help them as well. He goes on here in the rest of the psalm, talking about the Lord, executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know, you think about people that are going through this, in other countries especially, and maybe here as well. I know there's a lot of oppression. People persecuted for one reason or another, many of them simply because they are believers, because they're Christians and not some other religion. And all of this, it says, God executes righteousness and judgment for those who are oppressed. And he will come to their rescue in one way or another. And it says, the Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Even those who sin against the Lord without any compunction of conscience, he's long-suffering towards them, and so often allows them a great deal. He gives daily grace to us and all the blessings that we enjoy so much. And he goes on. I like this part down here. It says, as far, in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So we have no need to fear. We have no condemnation. We are free in Christ to live righteously and to serve him. And all of our sins have been taken away. You know, sometimes I'm sure we wonder about that. And it's easy to think, you know, that there may be something that God is holding against us, but he's not. He doesn't hold anything against us. He has forgiven us and cleansed us completely. It says in verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, cares for them, and longs to see them healthy, strong, and doing well in life. This is the way the Heavenly Father looks at us. He wants us to have all the best. So the Lord pities them that fear him. That's what he asks. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of wisdom. And we need to fear him in the sense of worship him, adore him, and give him all the glory and praise that he deserves. Because he's just like our Father. He is our Father. And just like an earthly father cares for his children, so the Heavenly Father cares for those who fear him. And he says, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You know? He took the dust of the earth and made Adam. And we are primarily made up of some kind of minerals and so forth as far as our body is concerned. And someday it will go back to the dust. But the Lord knows us and he cares for us. And he's willing to forgive us for whatever we sin against him. Not that we want to do that. Notice what it says, verse 17. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting to them that fear him. There it is again. And his righteousness unto children's children, even the grandchildren, right? The Lord looks down upon each one and helps in each and every life. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. That's the important thing, that we be obedient to him, that we walk in the light of his word and do his will. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. So God is in charge. Even when it looks like that everything is going wrong, eventually it will turn around. The Lord is not going to allow evil to prevail. We know the end of the story. We know that Jesus is coming. We know that he is going to rule and reign forever. And so we can trust him for all of that. Then the last part here, he says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, those messengers of his, those who worship him continually and cry out, holy, holy, holy. These, the angels. And he says, bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, all those who follow him, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, the things he's made. You know, imagine, you know, all of the wonderful things that God has made. The creation, the tiniest little insect and the greatest greatest animals, the greatest stars and all of the heavenly bodies. All his works in all places. And he closes again, bless the Lord, O my soul. May we praise God, not only on Thanksgiving Day, as we always say, but all the time, every time. May we bless the Lord for his goodness and grace to us. All right. Our Father, we thank you again for all that you are and all that you mean to us. And pray that you'll lead us and guide us. May we truly be thankful for all the blessings that we enjoy each day. May your holy will be done. Guide and direct us, and pour out your blessings upon us, Lord, that we might be able to bless others as well. May your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.